unless it was a tumor or something, and then you'd have to deal with all that. But, you know, it's ridiculous. It's sad that we let people lead this nation who are so reprobate. I thank God we're beginning to vote in political people who aren't reprobate or not as reprobate as the others. People who will stand up and say, it's okay to agree with God. It's okay to agree with God. It's not only okay, you need to agree with God not to be reprobate. Period. And we need to repent for everything we've ever disagreed with God about. Who are we to disagree with God? No wonder we're in trouble. The minute we disagree with God, who are we in agreement with? Who are we in agreement with? So there is truly a power of agreement, but it's not based on works. It's based on who do you agree with. Let me clear up vain reasoning really quick and help you get your hearts from being undiscerning and darkened. This is one of the greatest revelations that I've gotten recently. If you've been listening to tapes, guys, give me a lie. You can choose to believe this. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to have everything inside of you agreeing with it. You don't have to have anything inside of you agreeing with it. You don't have to do anything but choose with your free will to believe it. Do you understand that? Do you understand that you don't have to be led by your carnality? That you don't have to be led by emotion? Can you get a hold that this whole thing isn't about you and what you feel or think? I mean, one of the worst bumper stickers. Well, one is, God's my co-pilot. I would not get in your plane. With a spirit of superiority like that, you are very fortunate if lightning don't hit your plane. You're letting God fly along with you in case you make, in case you want a nap. The other one is, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. God said it, that settles it. Who cares if you believe it? What you believe has nothing to do with truth. What a freedom. What I believe has nothing to do with anything except for how much the devil gets to bug me. When you read the Bible this week, I want you to read it with the revelation of, I'm going to read truth and I believe it, period. I'm not going to open the door for torment anymore. I'm not going to reason about it. I'm not going to debate it. I'm going to believe it. Your life will change if you begin to study the word like that. Take notes, write in your Bible, do whatever it takes. And when something jumps out that you, something in you says you don't believe, you begin to realize that that's not you. Why? Because you've chose to believe it. So there's some lust or something warring within you. That's what we got to get out. When people say, well, what do you believe? You know, I've taught for a long time, you're not to have opinions. God told me a long time ago, get rid of your opinions. All I am even supposed to do is to agree with God. That's faith. And we want a great big applause if we agree with God. How dumb are you not to agree with God? How reprobate are you not to agree with God? I want you to begin to see anything in you that doesn't agree with God and realize it's not you. Don't say, well, a part of me doesn't believe that. Why would I tell you not to say that? Because you're identifying with a spirit that has its identity. No, let me say, has its safety in not being cast out because you think it's you. You will not get rid of something that you think is you. You will not get rid of something that you think is God. So how can you begin to tell what's not you? If you're making a free will choice, not an emotional choice, not a choice led by, but a honest to goodness, here's my soul decision. I choose to believe God's word over everything else, period. You just ended a lot of torment right there. Whatever part of you can't do that, we need to cast out. Let's go ahead and start casting some of this stuff out. Go to 24. Because of this, because they changed truth, thought they were smart, and they became foolish. 24 says, because of this, God gave them up to impurity in the lust of their hearts, their body to be dishonored among themselves. Okay, impurity because of lust in your heart. That's unclean spirits. Look at America. Look at how perverted America became after we stop prayer in school, after we begin to teach theology that didn't line up with the Bible. Look how, in the church, look at how much lust and sex scandals and sin, when we begin to buy into doctrine that the pastors and these guys are spiritual authorities. The worst one is that they are covering. Mm-hmm. Yes. I know this bugs people, but it's just true. Covering, and I'm going to say it real quick, we got a lot of teaching on this. Covering is an intimate relationship between you and God. God only allows one other relationship to reflect that, that he actually says in his word, and that's the husband and the wife. Okay? And that makes a lot of sense if every relationship on earth is to reflect a truth in the spirit. So husbands, and I won't get into it all, the Ephesian tapes are good on that. Husbands, you are to reflect Christ and lay down your lives for your wife. It's easy to submit to dead men. And wives, you're to submit to that husband who's laid down his life, who really seeks the Lord and cares about the family and cares about you. And they're not out for their own interests. And unfortunately, you have to submit to him even if he hasn't gotten there and trust God with it. But it's submission in natural things because that's what it's representing. So when God says, Cindy, go to this church today and you're going to prophesy, and even if they throw you out, you're going to do it. I submit to him. He is the only spiritual authority in my life. And that's a spiritual thing. When my husband says, I want you to take Mitchell to the doctor this week, I don't argue with it. I rearrange my whole schedule, and it's a natural thing to take my son to the doctor, and I take him to the doctor. But if my husband said, Cindy, I want you to fast and pray for our son's healing, I would say, you have no authority in my spiritual life. That belongs to the Holy Ghost. And if he tells me to fast and pray, I will. Folks, if we don't begin to give Jesus Christ his rightful place in our lives and not give it to man, we are in major trouble. Do you understand those differences? Okay. We want to get free from vain reasonings and undiscerning hearts. Okay, what vain reasonings is when you sit there and you argue things instead of just believing truth. And see, if you really get into vain reasonings, you're also going to have doubt and unbelief. If God says, by my stripes you're healed. If God says, I'm able to protect you and keep you. If God says, you know, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. And you begin to reason, let the enemy reason those away. How many have this as a pattern in their life? You just know every time I'm trying to believe for something, the enemy just comes in with these vain reasonings. Okay. And I think even since I know we dealt with this before, but I think as we took this reprobate thing out of the way, some of you have probably been hit more. First, if you haven't been prayed for the reprobate spirit and you understand that, we'd like to pray for you for that. The other teaching is awesome too on a father's love, the power of a father's love. That's like part one, and part two is the reprobate mind, getting free from it. But you need to get that strong man out of the way. Last week we had a powerful time. Oh my gosh, that was cool. I was going like this and people were falling out. Oh, that's cool. I don't have to touch them. Yay. But tonight, if you've got rid of reprobate spirit, then we want to go after the vain reasonings. But you've got to believe this. You've got to believe from this point on, I'm believing God's word. I'm speaking God's word. It's not a works anymore. I understand that. Yay, I'm free from having to try to make it work. God can't honor that. But I'm going to believe it because it's truth. I'm going to speak it because it's truth. I'm going to agree with it. Why? Because it's... That's the only reason. I'm not trying to work it. I'm going to believe it because it's truth. How many think they can do that? Isn't that easy? Yes. It's really easy, folks. This is how I've gotten victory in horrible situations. When my son's been so sick, I just believe the word. And you cast down, imagine it, you begin to say, I'm not thinking there. If you're used to vain reasonings, you have so opened up your mind as a communication with demons that you live with a lot of torment. I don't live there. As soon as the devil starts, for example, with the building, what do you think the devil would be telling me right now? Woman, you're about to bankrupt this ministry. Are you crazy? Have you looked at your checkbook? And I could really go into some major vain reasonings if I thought about it. Do you know what I decided? God, this is you. Oh, we're going for it. Whatever. We're walking. We're jumping out of the boat. We're on the water. We're walking. And whatever happens, happens. If I missed it, you're going to bring something great out of it. So who cares? But the truth is, God, I'm not listening to that. So what happens when those thoughts, those vain reasonings come? He told me in his word just last night that I will lack nothing. This is what he gave me as I build the house of the Lord. Whew. Took me to 1 Kings, whole thing about Solomon being called to build the house of the Lord and that he would lack nothing. Now let me say this, you need something real with God so that when the enemy tries to come in and bombard you, you've got the sword of the Spirit to say, I ain't reasoning with you, devil. It is written, I shall lack nothing. But when it's a brand new word given to you by a faithful God, it means a lot to you. If you're just trying to work a formula, forget it. But when you go to God and you have a real relationship with God and you say, Lord, you know, man, I seen that checkbook. You know, Lord, this is kind of hoo-wee. And I believe you and you're faithful and you've shown me this and all the things you've done. But God, could you give me something? And he turns you right to it. And you start reading it and it jumps off the page. Shall lack nothing. I said, devil, I shall lack nothing. God's telling me, he's proved it, he's faithful, and you begin to speak truth. You don't just pretend it's okay. You speak truth till you believe it. Who are you speaking to? You, soul. Hey, Cindy, this is you speaking to you to encourage you in what your God has said. Your God has said you will lack nothing. Your God has said he's called you to this. Your God has said that you're going to build the house of prayer he wants for his purposes and his glory. And he's the one who's checked your motive. He's the one that has dealt with everything. So you have nothing to fear. No weapon formed against you will prosper. See, I'm not doing it as something I got to prove and make happen. I'm talking to me to build me up and believe in truth. I'm not faking it. He gave it to me. I believe it. Do you see what I'm saying? And I didn't jump out there and do it on my own. He doesn't, if you're doing something on your own, you might have to hit the wall to ask God why you're running off doing your own thing. But that's okay. You need to hit that wall. He'll still fix it. That's what's so cool. Yay. Hit the wall. Most of you wouldn't be here if you hadn't hit some walls. I'd never be sitting in that woman's meetings the way everybody talks mean about her. Whoa. It's much easier just to sit where it's easy. That woman can be mean when she preaches. But where else do I go? She sounds like she knows a little bit what she's talking about. Hallelujah. That's what the disciples had to say. Okay, Lord, this is really hard, but where else do we go? And what he said was much harder than anything I've ever had to say or will have to say. You will never have to drink my blood or eat my body, okay? Hallelujah. Promised, guaranteed. If someone tells you that, go quickly. There's only one. Lord, hallelujah. All right, vain reasonings. We are closing the door on this tonight. If you've gotten free from reprobate spirit, then this will be easy. If you still have that, but you got the revelation, what's reprobate spirit? A reprobate mind. God turns you over. That's a spiritual law. Let me give you some spiritual laws. If you don't forgive, you're turned over to the tormentors, okay? So if you got torment in your life, you need to go check real quick and find out where the unforgiveness is. Plain and simple, you'll probably find your answer, your door. There's always a door. Satan can do nothing without a door. He can walk in. Ooh, doo, doo, doo. Oh, unforgiveness. I made them hate their mother. I did it. Now they hate them. Here I am. Let me torment them. Let me drive them nuts. I can do this. Till you rise up and say, I forgive. And no weapon formed against you prosper. And devil, just going back out that door in the name of Jesus Christ. And then you throw him out. That's how it works. He can't get in by some mystical thing. Something has to happen to let him in. All you got to do is go back with the power of God and get him out. There's no condemnation in Christ. If he got in, oh well. Because God inside of you is going to get him out. So what we're going to do with the reprobate mind, spiritual law, just like if you don't forgive, you turn over tormentors. If you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. Even if you're saved, think of that one. Ooh, make people mad now. I didn't make it up. I just preach it. Okay, get this as a spiritual law. If you believe a lie about the nature of God, who God is, and the things he says in his word, you are turned over to a reprobate mind. In other words, Satan gets access to your mind because you gave it to him by not believing truth. Okay? Do we got that? So when we're praying for people, if you've given access to your mind because of not believing truth, it doesn't mean you purposely. It's not about blame. Who cares? We've all messed up. Get past condemnation. Get free. You know, just realize, wow, I believed evolution. I believe this. That's all it takes. Reprobate mind. It's a spiritual law. So what we did, a lot of us got free from reprobate mind. You guys were flying through the air, some of you, so you had it bad. But whether you have it little or bad, who cares? You know, like, well, my reprobate mind wasn't as bad as your reprobate mind. That's what the church is doing with the whole gay thing. Well, you know when we're going to see the gay people set free? When we get rid of the reprobate mind in us. Because that's when I have authority to love them enough to help them get the freedom I've gotten. But when I'm still looking at theirs like it's worse than mine, hell's hot. I don't care which way you get there. You know, get there, you know, married, happily married and never did a sin in your life, but not accept Christ. Still same hot hell. Because you're just so good and important. Versus so hurt that you've been turned over to a reprobate mind to the point of not recognizing that a man is made different than a woman for the glory of God. That a baby is a baby from the moment of conception. That a will is not as important as the baby. It's not about superiority of what degree of reprobate mind we've been turned over to. Who cares? Just get it out. When we get it out, we'll have the understanding, the authority, and the power to help others really get free. That is so cool to me. So when you're getting prayed for, if you haven't gotten rid of reprobate mind, we're going to renounce that once again. Everybody will do it just for those who haven't gotten prayed for. Because why go after these little guys if the strong man's not out? Then we're going to go after vain reasoning. So first, when we're going to renounce, we're going to do reprobate mind for those who didn't yet. And if you don't understand it, that's fine. Get the tape. Last week it was taught for 2 hours really powerfully. Okay, we're going to do vain reasonings.